Hello and good morning to Studies Through the Bible with Pastor Zach Ebarb. I am Pastor Zach, and today we are going to revisit what we did last week. We were going back over the recording and whatnot and realized that a lot of the audio was really messed up during Genesis chapter 20, and we don't know if it was messed up for those of you that showed up live or not. So just in case, I told my wife, who helps me kind of get some of this stuff put together, I said, look, we're going to go back and re-redo Genesis chapter 20 for this week. It'll be okay for us to hear it again a second time. We always need to go back and look over the Word of God. You never know what you may have not realized was there, or maybe something that you missed, or something that was kind of an interesting tidbit, that kind of thing. And so this week, we are going to go back over Genesis chapter 20. For those of you that are live for this, that are going, well, we've already did that. Well, it's okay. It'll be all right. We're going to do it one more time. Okay, and maybe we'll get it all to pan out. And so, to kind of bring you around to it, since we're going to go back to this chapter, I'm going to paint the picture of what has happened up to this point. If you guys remember correctly, we had in chapter 19, of course, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the ever so popular story of Lot and his wife and what happens. There's a lot of people. Excuse me. There is a lot of people who typically know the story of Lot and his wife and what happens with Sodom and Gomorrah. Even many lost people who are very familiar with that story, or people that have had some touchings or dealings with the Bible, maybe not even in a church setting, that know of this story and what happened. it's a very popular story for today's time due to the discussion of sin and homosexuality and abortion, things like that, that come into play that we see going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so in chapter 19, we see that these two angels come. Lot hastens them into his house because he doesn't want anything bad to happen to these two guys. Doesn't realize yet who they are or what they're there for. And we see all the men of Sodom surround Lot's house and tell him to send these two men out so that they can rape them. And of course, the part that gets many, many people, especially women, upset and angry is that Lot offers his two daughters, who are in the process of being married, for the pleasure of all these men, as opposed to these two angels. And of course, the men of Sodom try to kick in the door and come in, and the angels strike them with blindness and save Lot and his family. And then tell Lot and his family, of course, we are going to be destroying this city. You need to get out. And there's just a lot of things that go into that story with Lot that we talked about from an application perspective. But what happened even before then is we saw, the promised son is revisited by God and these two angels. They come to Abraham first, and they tell Abraham again the promise and what was going to happen. And then they go to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And so all of these things are going on, and Abraham is displaying great faith in God. He's trusting in God, and he's doing what he's supposed to be doing very well. Now, there's many times in our walk with God that we are, we're growing and we're growing and we're growing and we're growing and faith is there. And I even see this with a lot of my church members where I just, man, I'm like, yeah, the so and so is just they're just growing and they're moving up. And yes, and believe it or not, if your pastor cares about you, he has these discussions with himself about how he can see your own life changing, okay? Seeing this maturity come about. And it's very exciting. It's very good. It's good not just for, pastors who get to see it other lives. But even in my own life, when I can see that, oh wow, there's some growth there. There's that, 5, 6 years ago, I may have done this in this situation, but I, in this situation, I acted accordingly. It's very exciting. It's good to be close with God. But there is an issue that comes with it is sometimes we get so caught up in the growing that we leave ourselves open for old sins that we thought we had conquered. Okay? Guys, just because you're growing in God and you're moving forward does not give you the grounds to become overconfident. It doesn't give you the grounds to begin to think that you have arrived. Okay? We have to be so leery that of our old mistakes, our old bad decisions, so that we do not make those again. Because many times God's people look at growing with God as a one step to the next step to the next step process. Okay, of oh, I conquered this, now I move to this. Oh, I've conquered that, now I move to this. Okay, you know, oh, we've gotten past that, now I move to this. And that's not at all how walking with God happens. Sometimes you may have made it through step one, two, and three, and you're moving on to four, and then find yourself making a mistake that you would have made in step one, okay? Something that you would have done in your earlier days of being saved that you're going, oh my goodness, why did I do that? You know, that why did I make that mistake? Well, you made that mistake because you're human, okay? You've got a sin nature. And today, Abraham is going to do this. He's been doing all this growing, starts to get, you know, maybe a little comfortable, maybe a little overconfident in his relationship with God, and he's going to make a mistake that he made way early on, long before he was ever Abraham, and he was Abram. So, very short chapter. Here we go. It says, "And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar." So all of a sudden, Abraham decides to move further south from where he is. You know, a lot of people go back and forth about this. You know, it wasn't obviously that God had led him to move back, because nowhere in here does God have this discussion with Abraham. But some people tend to just think that maybe he moved away because he was close enough to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah that he could see the destruction of the landscape. Maybe some of the punishment that had taken place with Sodom and Gomorrah made it a little bit harder for them to live in that area. There's a million reasons why we could speculate that Abraham all of a sudden decides to move. But he heads south. It says, "And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, 'She is my sister.' And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah." Oh boy. Don't you love how they summarize this up? See, if we painted this whole story, it's they move south, and Abraham comes into the city, and Abimelech sees Sarah, thinks she's pretty, thinks she's nice, wants to take her as his wife. And Abraham says, "Oh, she is my sister," and he makes the same mistake he made in Egypt. He sends Sarah with Abimelech and allows Abimelech to take her as a wife. Now, we have a major difference between him making this mistake now and the last time. And no, that's not the sin part. The sin is still the same sin. The problem here is that God has come to Abraham just two chapters ago and said, "Sarah's going to have a baby when?" Within a year's time, right? God said, "I will come again in this season and you will have your child by then." Meaning that Abraham's not just made the same sinful mistake. Abraham has made this mistake at a pivotal time in his walk with God. Guys, do not ever think that you have reached a point in your life that you cannot make mistakes, create sin problems that you may have made foolishly in your more immature days as a believer. We are always open for making those sins and mistakes if we do not pay attention to our walk with God. So Abraham, though, he is doing this in what is a very important moment. And so God handles this completely different than how he did with Pharaoh. It says, "But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, 'Behold, Thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, will thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she, even she herself, said, he is my brother. And the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. So in Egypt, when Abraham made this mistake, Pharaoh's house had a curse put on them where it became noticeable that it was because of this woman that there was a problem. But here, God directly intervenes. Now, many people are like, oh, yeah, you see, God's just cleaning up Abraham's mess. No, God is maintaining his plan. Guys, the beautiful thing about God and the work of God is, see, even when you and I, we think we have matured and we've reached this point that we are gotten into a better relationship stance with God, you know, that we would never make such a foolish mistake as one that we would have made when we were an immature Christian. God is always going to be there to continue his plan regardless of what we do. There are sometimes that we, part of that overconfidence and that comfort that comes is not only just that we're growing with God, but that we feel like we are the only one God can get this job done with. Friends, God wants us to be a part of his work, but God's work is going to get done with or without us. Here, Abraham, if it was all on Abraham to get the work of God done, he would have just blown it completely for the entire world. It would have been created a huge, huge, huge opportunity to discredit not just God and his own power, but even the Messiah who was to come. And God stepped in and fixed it anyway. He came to Abimelech and he said, you're going to die because of the woman you've taken. Now, Abimelech makes a pretty good argument, doesn't he? He's like, first of all, he hasn't come near her, which means he's not consummated his marriage. But he says, Lord, will thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me that she is my sister, and her unto me that he is my brother? Abimelech goes, whoa, ho, 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 hang on now. When I took her as my wife, he said that she was his sister, and she said that he is her brother. I did not do this knowingly. And many people look at this and they're like, well, goodness, why would God have come and threatened him with that? Why would God have killed him? He didn't make this mistake knowing that she was somebody else's wife. Guys, this was not that God was going to punish Abimelech for a sin that he did not knowingly commit. If I come to you and I have an issue, I'm God, okay, for this example, how best am I going to get your attention? Hey, give that dude his wife back. That, you know, that's his wife. You know, maybe. Or Abimelech might have been like, well, I mean, you know, she's mine now. I'm keeping her, okay? Or am I going to get somebody's attention by saying, you're going to die for what you have done? God was not actually going to kill Abimelech for unknowingly committing this sin. God was getting Abimelech's attention. And so Abimelech says all of these things. And then God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. And he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. God said, yeah, I know you didn't commit this sin knowingly, and you're welcome that I committed you, that stopped you from sinning on another level. Sometimes we begin to think, well, God, if I committed a sin, but I didn't realize it was a sin, that doesn't count against me. Yes, it does. Yeah, God understood that he was unknowing in what he did, but at the end of the day, he had still committed polygamy, for one thing, but also he had stolen another man's wife. Friends, just because we may sin and not realize that we have committed a sin doesn't mean that it's not held to our charge. What it means is that we have a loving God a forgiving God and a God who gives us the opportunity to get things right. He says, Abimelech, I understand that. However, you have done this, and you need to give him back his wife, and if you do not, you will surely die. And so it was. Here we go. It says, therefore, Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. So Abimelech has this dream where God visits him, and he quickly gets up the next morning, and he goes to the people, you know, the servants in his castle, his palace, whatever you want to call it, and he says, look, this is what's going on, and everyone is terrified. It says, then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us, and what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou, that thou hast done this thing? Guys, just because we are growing in God, not only does that not mean that we won't make a bad decision or a sinful decision that we made in our more immature days as walking with God. But also know this, when we have committed a sin that we not only have committed in the past, but have committed after we have grown further with God, God is going to deal with that quickly and abruptly, and He will deal with it in any manner that He pleases with any person that He does. We have got to be people that when we make a bad decision or we have a sin problem or we do something wrong, that we are willing to own up to it and repent and get it right. There are so many times that not only in my own life I've made this mistake, but also that I've seen in the lives of others where they just do not want to own that they've done something wrong. And they get bitter with God, or they get bitter with God's people, and they walk away, and they just throw their whole life away because they got their feelings hurt, or because they're being convicted, and they just don't like that feeling. And guys, I'm not telling you that being in a bad position is a great feeling. It's not. When you know you have done something wrong, and then you are confronted on it, that's never a good feeling. We as humans naturally desire to make an excuse to try to get ourselves out of it. But if we are truly as mature as we think we are, say we are, then we should be willing to repent. Abimelech comes to calls Abraham to him and he says, why have you done this? Why have you put me in a position to sin? Why did you lie to me? And furthermore, what was it that was said or done that made you think you needed to do this? Guys, many times when we make sins that we would have made as an immature Christian, it's when we have lost our faith in God and believe we've got to get the job done by our ability. Abraham still did not have enough faith in God to believe that God was going to preserve him, even though God had already promised him that he was going to have a kid within the next couple of months, that Sarah was going to be pregnant and have a child, and that he would have an heir. It's so sad here to see Abraham make so much progress and then fall back into this old sin because his faith just wasn't quite there. But what's even worse is look at how Abraham responds. It says, and Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. The first thing out of Abraham's mouth is an excuse. He answers this man who has clearly caught him in a position where he has wrongfully sinned, done wrong. There is no excuse whatsoever for it. He should have asked for forgiveness and repented before God. But instead, he gives this king an excuse. He said, I thought surely that you guys, I didn't think you guys believed or had any fear in God, and that you would kill me for my wife. That's excuse number one. Then excuse number two. And yet indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. So excuse number two is, well, it was a half-truth. I didn't actually lie to you. She's my half-sister. Guys, a half-truth is still a lie. He makes an excuse. He gives a pathetic excuse about trying to justify his lie. And then he does something even worse. It says, and it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is the kindness which thou shalt shew unto me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. The final thing that Abraham does, his final excuse, is he casts the blame on God. Well, the reason this happened is because when God made me leave my homeland and go to Canaan, I asked her to do this, and this has just been our policy ever since. Friends, when you get confronted on your sin, when God brings your sin to light, or he uses somebody else to confront you on what you've done, there is never an excuse. What we need to do is simply repent and say, yeah, you're right, I'm sorry, I messed up. This won't ever happen again. Because, guys, this is the reality, okay? You're going to make mistakes. I don't care how much you grow. I don't care how much you study. I don't care how much you read your Bible, whatever. You're going to make a mistake. You're going to mess up. You're going to fall to sin at some point because you are not perfect. That's not an excuse to say, oh, well, in that case, Brother Zach, I'm just not going to try it. No. No, that's not what it means. What it means is that you're going to always be growing through your life, and when you fail, that's not a time to be arrogant and try to make an excuse for your failure, because there isn't one. There's no one else you can cast the blame on but yourself. All you can do is repent and move forward. Abraham makes all these excuses. Tries to cast the blame towards God, tries to excuse, tries to justify his sin. And what's amazing about this passage is that not only did God use Abimelech to confront Abraham, but God used Abimelech to teach Abraham a lesson in being humble. It says, and Abimelech took sheep, and oxen, and men servants, and women servants, and gave them unto Abraham, and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleaseth thee. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee, and with all other. Thus she was reproved. Abraham was completely in the wrong. He made a mistake that he made in his much, much more immature days as a follower of God. When we went to Egypt, we made this mistake with Pharaoh. Now Abraham has grown. He is a stronger believer. He's got a stronger amount of faith. And he falls into this same sin again of pretending that Sarah is his sister and giving her to wife to a king, another person. And not only is Abraham completely in the wrong for this whole situation, instead of repenting when he was confronted by Abimelech for what he had done, he made excuse after excuse. He tried to justify his sin. He cast the blame towards God. And Abimelech did exactly what Abraham should have been doing. Abraham is the one who is guilty of the sin and should be making restitution. But instead, Abimelech looks at the very man who put him and his kingdom in a situation where God was going to destroy them, and he gives him sheep and ox and men servants and women servants, and he restores Sarah back to him, and he even allows him the privilege of going over his land, and then he pays the price that would be for taking a woman to marry and putting her away without cause, according to Levitical law, which hasn't even been established yet. Gives 1,000 pieces of silver to him because he's giving back his wife, in quotation marks. He's putting her away. Guys, Abimelech didn't do anything wrong. But instead of being like Abraham, where he's giving these excuses and all these things, he did what God asked him to do. He fixed the situation. He gave Sarah back to Abraham, and then he blessed Abraham despite the fact that he had done something evil to him. Friends, I know it's not an easy task to forgive people that have done you wrong, but it's an even more difficult task to bless those who have done you wrong. And Jesus Christ himself has told you to bless those who curse you. We are not only supposed to be people who forgive others, but we're supposed to be people who reach out in love and kindness to even those who we know hate us and have no good intentions in their heart for us. Abraham is completely humiliated in this situation because he's not only done the wrong sin, but instead of being mature and repenting and asking forgiveness of Abimelech and of God for what he's done, he makes all these excuses, and Abimelech turns around and says, and instead of going after him or trying to get revenge against him, he blessed the very man who almost brought a horrible sin and punishment on his own head and on his family and on his nation, and blessed him anyway, despite what he had done. Guys, I promise you, when you have the opportunity to repent and you fail to do it, God is going to make sure that you know just how in the wrong you are, using whoever he wants to do it. He will show you who you are supposed to be despite the decision that you made. Here, Abraham made not just a terrible sin choice. He didn't just, put himself in a very bad position of doing something an immature believer would have done that he himself had already done before. But he also put the redemptive plan of man at stake to the point that God had to step in and directly intervene into this situation to make sure things went the way they were supposed to. He then failed to repent of his sin when confronted, and now the very man who he did wrong turns around and teaches him yet another biblical principle about forgiveness and loving your enemies as yourself. It says, so Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Abraham is blessed by this man, and then he turns around and he has to pray to God to not only heal Abimelech and his wife and his household, because they could not have children, but he also would have had to take the time to repent of what he did and realize just what he had done. You say, okay, well, it's a short chapter. I told all of you it'd be a really short chapter today. It's chapter 20, not a whole lot going on. It's the same mistake that he's made before. But there's a couple of things that I want you to take away from this. Number one, when you are growing in God and your faith is growing and you're getting a closer relationship with Him, do not get comfortable. One of the biggest mistakes God's people make is they begin to get comfortable in where they are in their relationship with God. Not saying to not enjoy the relationship that you have with God, and then to enjoy the growth, and then to enjoy learning and studying. The whole point of this podcast is to help you grow and to learn how to study the Word of God for yourself, what questions to ask and how to dig into it and how they apply to your life, these kinds of things. But what I'm saying about not getting comfortable is don't begin to think that you have become untouchable to certain sinful tendencies. That's not true. You battle with the old man all the time. Abraham had made this mistake before, had been confronted and rebuked by a pagan king before for doing this. And here, he's not Abram like he was back then. Now he is Abraham. He has the promise imminent of his son coming. He has spoken directly with God just two chapters before. He has seen the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah for their behavior and then witnessed God's faith and bringing out even those who, even though there were only three people there, who believed in him, bringing those people out of Sodom before he destroyed it. He has witnessed all these great things and he's grown so much in God, and then he dropped the ball completely here. Do not get comfortable thinking that you have conquered specific types of sin, because friends, when you start to begin to think those sins don't affect you or those sins can't tempt or influence you, is when you're going to fall into them. Secondly, when the sin comes knocking on the door, you make a mistake, and it's going to happen eventually. It's a matter of when more than a matter of if. Okay? When those sins happen, when you make those bad choices and decisions, and God brings it to the forefront of your face, whether he uses somebody to confront you on it, or he confronts you himself, or you hear a sermon on Sunday morning that strikes a chord with it, whatever it is, don't make excuses. Guys, there's no excuse for sin. Even if you sin, not unknowing that you sinned, you still sin. There's not an excuse for that. I could go out, you know, many of you that are on here and listen a lot, you know that I hunt and fish. I could go out in a patch of woods and think I'm in a legal spot to hunt, and if I shoot a deer or, shoot a squirrel, whatever it is that I'm hunting, and a game warden walks up to me and he says, hey, you know, you're actually over the borderline. You're not on public land. You're on this private property. It didn't matter that I didn't realize that I had overstepped or gone too far and was on a different section of land than the one I was supposed to be on. I still did it, and I'm still going to get the fine. It's the same thing with sin. You may not realize what you have done, but you've still done it. And when you're confronted with it, don't make excuses. Don't try to cast blame. Repent, because guys, this is the reality of the situation. It doesn't matter how much you grow with God. There's going to be days that you make a bad choice because you're a human. There's going to be days that you sin. There's going to be days that you do wrong things. I promise you, you sin on a daily basis. You may just not even realize you've done it, okay? Don't make excuses. Repent of those sins. Ask for forgiveness of God. Ask for forgiveness of those that you have maybe touched or messed up or done something wrong in front of. And get back on the horse and start serving God. And furthermore, if you're on here and you're a believer and somebody has done you wrong today, you have got to deal with that situation like Abimelech did. You have to forgive the other person, even if they make excuses for what they did, and I'm sure they do. Even if they did something terrible, awful, wrong to you, friend, that does not give you a right to not forgive them. And furthermore, your Bible says you are supposed to, because of how God forgives you on a daily basis for the same wrong and bad decisions that you make. You have to forgive other people. Abimelech had every reason in the world to throw Abraham out of his country, to even have Abraham put to death for lying to the king. But he instead blessed the very man who had done him horribly wrong and forgave him and gave him free rein to go anywhere he pleased in his nation. You have to be a person who forgives others. Because, see, guys, when you forgive others, when you do what God's asked you to do, when you do like Abimelech did here with Abraham, you turn that person over to for God to deal with. And God will deal with Abraham in a very beautiful way here very soon, because he's going to have his child, and there's going to be some things that are addressed about past sins that Abraham has done as far as Hagar and Ishmael go. You forgive others, not just for your own relationship with God, but because, friend, God will take care of that situation. There is no wrongdoing that goes unpunished. So as you go about your week, try to focus on those three things. Go back, look over chapter 20 for any of our new listeners that are on today. We're glad to have you here. If you're a first time, we love all of you. We're going to pray for all of you. If there's anything I can do to help you out, you can send a message, I think, on the Podbean thing. Some of you have found me on Facebook and our church website and that kind of thing. Whatever you want to do, that's fine. I'll help you out as best as I can. But go through chapter 20 this week. Read it over, dig into it, take some time to consider all the aspects of this, take some time to apply those lessons to your heart this week. If there's something going on that's been dealt with in this chapter, take care of it, wrap it up, do what you can to be a better servant of God. You can go back, look over all the other parts of Genesis that we've gone to through this point. We've done our, of course, our podcast started with an overview of all the books of the Bible, so you can go back and listen to those as well. But as always, I hope all of you have an excellent weekend. Get out of here and go study.